Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning. We are already into spring. Can you believe it? The way time has just flew by, it's already March the 23rd. Well, I hope everybody's doing well. It's been a very adventurous week, to say the least, with Garden of Eden Ministries, but we are victorious. Amen. And God is promoting us, Bride. That's what's happening. And there's a lot happening in the world, a lot happening, you know, with talks of war and all this kind of stuff. But for the church, I want to encourage you guys that this is our greatest hour. It really is. I mean, we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And this is only the beginning, Bride. The persecution that's going to come against us on a global scale. You know, yesterday I was watching, what is that guy? Me and Dennis was. Oh, I shared it on Patreon. This guy named Denzel Washington. Now, I don't know if this is, you know, a shill or whatever, but he was talking about, you know, that the church needs to be ready for March the 29th. And that basically what he was saying in this kind of speech he was doing was saying that we need to prepare for an upscale of persecution. So I looked up the date of March the 29th. Well, March the 29th is, what was that major thing? Oh, another eclipse. So how he's getting his understanding or whatever, I don't know. But we do know that, you know, with what they're doing politically and stuff, their war against the Two Get Heard, the Together campaign, is ramping up against the church. And but God, for us, though, you know, God is been preparing us, and in those morning prayer calls, he has been speaking to us about the importance of our testimony in this hour. Because God's testimony, I just want to reiterate this morning, you know, that God's testimony is the earth. It is the naturalness. The beauty that you see is God testifying. So when you go out and you see the stars and you see the beautiful birds singing and you see his glory, you know, tell him. Say, Lord, I see you testifying today. And that's what I do when I went out and let the dogs out at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, I saw all the beautiful stars in the sky. And, you know, I told the Lord, wow, you're really testifying tonight. Because this is what, you know, the beast is after is the naturalness of God. He wants everybody's eyes gazed over on him. You know, go in the metaverse. You know, don't see the beauty of God. And he wants to do the same through humans. So, but to those who are persevering and to those who are, you know, standing in the midst of the persecution, against the flood of AI and all the other stuff they're doing, you know, the Lord is going to protect her, you know, to the bride that is going to trust the Lord in the midst of the storm. Remember that time we was fasting and the Lord said, Bride, if you will put your feet on mine and you will hold my hand, I know how to dodge the bullets. I know how to navigate you in this storm. The key is getting up on them feet and allowing him to move the dance, because that's what we're doing right now. We're dancing with our king, because we know that soon and very soon we are going to see the king. Amen. Soon and very soon we are going to see the king. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon we are going to see the king. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the king. And another thing I want to point out is He was talking about how when the church gets under attack, you know, that's when people's true colors come out. And we actually saw this with this situation I have going on with persecution. You look at both sides of the story here, and you see one that resulted their old ways of witchcraft come out. Why is that? Because they felt the pressure. What's the other way? Forgiveness. The other way is going to God. This is what you'll see in the coming days of persecution, which way people are going to go. Because people sin based upon their lust. They do what is there, you know, when the pressure gets on. So according to this guy, you know, the end of this month, the pressure is going to be ramped up. So you can't make it up that the Holy Spirit's already dealt with us in this ministry to do a fast, April 1st through the 3rd. So I pray all of you guys will go on our website and get registered and get ready to go to battle with us. Amen. We've already got a lot of people registered, so I'm excited about it. God really moves and talks to us through those 3 days. They're just very precious times. And I guess it was a couple of days after I posted that, you know, I got a call from Leah, and she's like, man, I'm feeling like we just need to do a fast. I was like, well, we already got it going, baby. She says, I'm joining. So, anyways, it's all warfare, Brian. It is. When the attacks come against us, we just have to know who's fighting our battle, because this is just the beginning, you know. So, we trust in the Lord. Amen. So, let's see what else we got going on ministry-wise. I'm sure Dennis will tell you about what he's doing when he gets on. But I'm very excited about his sermon today, because God has been dealing with him all throughout the night this week and downloading into him what he's going to release to us this morning. And I just love it and look forward to it every week. Okay, so I guess that's it as far as the, you know, ministry news that I have for you guys. And upcoming events is our prayer event that we have going on. And, I guess one piece of news is that we did lockdown banned. We made it accessible only to people who are in our circle. These are the church people and the people that do the prayer calls. So these are people that I've vetted and am very comfortable with, you know, that are involved with us on the daily and stuff. So that is what band is for relationship, not onlookers. And I've had to address this on YouTube where people have got their feelings hurt. But I told them, you know, that you wasn't involved in the band, and if you want to be an onlooker, you can do that from YouTube, Patreon, you know, the list goes on, all the places, website, you can see everything I'm doing. I send out newsletters and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so let's go ahead and get started, because that's all the announcements I have. I just want to thank you guys for trusting us and being a part of this ministry and us being family. Because as the days grow closer to us going home, because we know this world is only temporary, you know, we have the pleasure of family. And we are each other's family. You know, no matter what our family does in the natural, you are the family. That's what Jesus said when he was on the cross. You see my family right here. You know. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and then I have a very special song. Well, I'll wait to play his song before he preaches, but let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll start the worship. Lord, we just thank you so much for even being alive today, Lord. We thank you that you chose us for this time for a reason. We trust in you, Lord. And we give you this service today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as we lift up the name of Jesus, that you will draw all men unto you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, for you are worthy to be praised this morning, Lord. There is none like you. And we ask that you accept the smell of our worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first song we're going to sing is called Open the Eyes of My Heart, if y'all know that one. All right, let's see here. I'm going to move this over here. Now, I don't know if anybody's watching online. There's only one watching online, but I can share the lyrics over here on the screen. Let me see here. And hello, I just noticed our newest friend. She is from Spain. Welcome. Well, I see she says she wants to join our church. She said that in Spain there is no church, you know, that is addressing the real end time issues and that she can really trust. So you are welcome here in the beloved, sister. Okay, so I'm sharing my screen right now to anybody that can see to share the lyrics. Okay, so here we go. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Isn't this beautiful? I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 we cry, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. You know, I think about all the angels around the throne right now, and that's all they're saying. Holy, holy, holy. I mean, can you imagine what that sounds like? Holy, holy, holy. You know, I mean, can you imagine just the beauty of that word up there? Oh, it just gives me chill bumps. Woo. Let's sing this one part one more time. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We cry holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Isn't that going to be an amazing day? Now I got to sing this song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I've got the lyrics up on the screen. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. But forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Isn't that beautiful? It won't be long, Bride. It will not be long. This time that we have on the earth is but a fleeting moment. My best friend, her mother died last week. And I think, let's see, she was in her early 80s. But if you used to talk to her before she died, she would tell you it was 5 minutes. The devil lies to us, tells us we have all this time. We don't. There's not any time left. That's why we need to be thankful for the day we're in. Okay, here's the last song before I play his special song. This one's called As the Deer Panteth for the Water. This talks about our desperation for the Lord. And this is what we need. Amen. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. Isn't that beautiful? You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Listen to this last one. I want you more than gold or silver only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Isn't this awesome? You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Praise God. Let's all gather together around Pastor and let's pray for him this morning as he delivers the word. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to even be able to gather to hear the word of the Lord, fresh manna from heaven. Lord, we thank you for our pastor. Lord, anoint him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to him and giving him the word of the hour for us, Lord. And we receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to everybody.
You got the floor.
Okay. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. You're doing great.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I guess this last song that we played, you know, above all, when I was putting this message together, and anyway, this song come to me, and, you know, above all, you know, we can't be ignorant of our great God. You know, we not only can't be ignorant of him, but we can't be ignorant of his word, the truth of his word. You know, so a lot of these songs that this is just amazing. Some of the songs that June picked, and then even before she come on, there was some songs, a couple of songs that were played, and one of them was, you know, I'm lost without you, I'm desperate for you. That was a couple of the verses in that one song. I can't remember the actual name of that song, but, you know, we, at this time, you know, we got to be desperate for the Lord God Almighty. You know, we got to be desperate for the truth and accept the truth. And that truth, you know, will set us free of all this that we see out here going on, that we won't get sucked up into the ways of the world. We talked about that last week, you know. And then the song that she played, Open the Eyes of Our Heart. You know, we, Lord, just open the eyes of our heart to see more clearly, you know, the things going on. You know, you know, he's got us here each for such a time as this. And so, you know, our eyes need to be opened up to, you know, what he wants us to do and to guide us, you know, lead us for such a time as this. So our eyes need to be opened, you know, because, you know, above all, you know, we serve a holy, holy God, you know, a holy, holy, you know, God, you know, the Lord God Almighty. You know, and as that deer panteth, you know, for the Lord, you know, that should be us. You know, we should be desperate, you know, for the Lord and his leading and guiding for such a time as this, that we won't be willingly ignorant, or we won't be not even knowing that we're ignorant of whatever. And that's kind of part of my message today. And so let's just get into it. But first, I guess I want to give thanks to everybody for their prayers and their gifts, especially their prayers. You know, we desperately need your prayers, and we just really thank you for your prayers and your gifts, financially, and the gifts that come to us, you know, in the mail and emails. Dorothy, she sent me a beautiful letter and a gift of just a few dollars, but it was enough for me to buy a box of tea. And I'm having some of that tea right now. And what I bought was some peach detox tea. I really love peaches. I love the flavor of peach. And so I bought a box of peach detox tea. It's really good. And I'm having some of that. So thank you, Dorothy. And each of you have sent me gifts. And I just really thank you for that. This week we put up a little greenhouse. And I don't have a green thumb, so I'm really asking for prayers, you know, that we can get this greenhouse going and get some food going in the greenhouse and hopefully put it together to make it productive. And then our baby goats are getting big, and they're really getting around and jumping and kicking. And yesterday we sold one of them. I wanted to keep the females, but we did sell one because, you know, this guy really, his wife wanted a female. So I sold one, and it's going to pay for some hay and feed for the goat. So praise the Lord. And it's springtime, and I want to do a lot of seeding the lawn. And so we got to get seed for the lawn and the backyard, basically, and the grove that I've been clearing out, and now it's time to put seed down. But our problem, I should say, is, you know, we put seed out, and then darn chickens, you know, they'll eat it all. And so we gotta put together a fenced in area for them. You know, they're so used to being free range that we need to fence them in, you know. So that's one of our tasks here on the farm is to get them fenced in for a while our seed grows up. And so we need prayers for that. Hopefully that'll work out. And so anyway, that's kind of what's going on the farm for me. And so once again, thank you for your prayers for these things and your gifts.
Hey, wait a minute, Papa. Wait a minute.
What?
We've got a testimony to share. Y'all know how we have this room here for the prophet. Well, my sister and her husband came this past weekend. They got saved on the third day.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. But I think the biggest testimony besides that, because the Lord, you know, the angels rejoice when people give their life back to the Lord, is when she walked in the house, she said the house hugged her and she felt love here. So I was like, thank you, Lord, because God is really moving in our family. I mean, I have been restored to all my children, my sister coming. I mean, God is really moving. You know, we've been praying for them every night before we go to bed. And of course, our prayer calls, you know, these are fruits of the prayer calls. So I'm excited for us to gather on April 1st through the 3rd as well, you know, to pray more for our families and the persecution that's coming. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes. And not only, you know, this last weekend when her sister and husband were here, and they said that, but they said they felt such peace. You know, when they were sitting on the front porch and everything was so peaceful and quiet, you know, and that was really awesome for me, because it's the peace that we you know, me, I, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and peace. You know, we just, you have to have peace in your heart. You have to have peace in your soul. You know, your mind, your will, and your emotions, you know, they peace should guide you. You know, you go to the right or to the left. If you're not in peace, you know, there's a problem there, is what I see. So peace is so important. And she said that she felt such peace. And, you know, and that's what we do too. It's so peaceful here and quiet. You know, we're both out of the city. And so we welcome people to come here and experience that peace, you know, to get away and leave all behind and come. So we welcome people. You know, above all, we just, you know, we seek the Lord about that. But anyway, so just thank the Lord right now, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit to lead and guide me, Lord, through your word and just to, that your word will explode in us and guide us and that we be not ignorant of things, you know. So Lord, just thank you for this time and ask that you bless each ear that hears this. I guess I'm going to start out, you know, saying that mostly everything's going to be here in, well, I'm going to be in a bunch of different areas, but the main one is 2 Peter, the first part of chapter 3. And I didn't really title this message. I think Mama put out something, but the main scripture that hit me earlier this week is verse 5. And I just want to read that, 2 Peter 3:5. For this they were, well, I want to 3, 4, and 5. Verse 3, knowing this first. So think about that, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. You know, walking after their own desires, you know, what I want, you know, not what the Lord wants, you know, but their own desires, their lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. But let's go back there. They willingly are ignorant of. You know, and this is talking about they're ignorant of the last days, about scoffers, you know, walking around after their own desires, you know, and, you know, we all could look in the mirror possibly, you know, are you willingly ignorant of the last days? Are you willingly ignorant of things coming? But are you willingly ignorant of God's word? Verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. But kind of focusing on that word ignorant. You know, ignorant, you know, the term implies, you know, error, going astray. Okay. So I'm just going to jump back here to Leviticus. Let me see here. Leviticus, I think it's chapter 4 is where I want to go. Leviticus chapter 4. And I, what this scripture, this come to me this morning when I was, I didn't even really look up the word ignorance because thinking, you know, what it means kind of. But this morning I looked it up, and when I did in my Bible dictionary, this is the first scripture that they, that it took me to. And it's verse 2. Well, here, and the Lord, Leviticus, chapter 4, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that has anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Now, this Leviticus chapter 4, this first part, is about the law of sin and the offerings, you know, the different offerings that you give for different sins, you might say. You know, and the laws, you know, for the congregation, for the people, you know, when their sin is through ignorance, you know, or lack of, or willingly ignorant. But here it's saying that, what, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then he, let him bring for sin which he has sinned. And look at that. I mean, think about that. The priest, what if he's sinning according to the people? So, I mean, he's kind of going along with the people. He's sinning because he's not making their sins aware to him. But anyway, it goes on down. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but it tells you what they have to do. You know, they got to bring a bullock to the tabernacle and all the different things that they have to do to make amends for that sin that the priest has to do. You know, because the ignorance of the people, ignorance of the priest. But then let's go over to verse 13. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be held from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against and any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. So now then it goes through again what they have to do, you know, to make amends for that sin through ignorance. The whole congregation. you know, the atonement for them. And then verse 20, it says, and he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering, shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Isn't that awesome? And this is Old Testament. You know, they used animals, you know, but the thing is that they acknowledged, you know, even though they were ignorant, now they come to the knowledge of their ignorance. And so now they're using animals and such for their atonement, for their forgiveness. And praise the Lord that, you know, he has forgiven them. And then verse 22, when a ruler has sinned, did you catch that? A ruler, an official, has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance. Catch that. When a ruler has sinned and done somewhat, somewhat through ignorance. That makes it, I just caught that now. Puts a pretty big, wide perspective maybe on things. Through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty. And is guilty. So he's somewhat ignorant. So that means he knows he's ignorant. I mean, he knows he's sinning, but yet he's not. Is that kind of willingly ignorant? Verse 23, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of goats, a male without blemish. And then it goes on into, you know, how they go about being forgiven for that, making atonement for that. And then we're going to jump down to verse 27. We're in Leviticus 4. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he does somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty. There it is. You know, I mean, here it was the leader. Now they're back to the common people sinning through ignorance. When he doth somewhat, there's that word again. Again, it puts a little bigger picture to what, you know, this ignorance. Are they willingly ignorant? Somewhat? I mean, they're ignorant, kind of, not so ignorant, are ignorant. But then it goes into, well, you know, what they have to do to make, you know, this peace offering. But, you know, the Lord, verse 31, and he shall take away all the fat thereof, and the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for the sweet savor unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. So praise the Lord, you know, this kind of, it's repentance. Amen. You know, the Lord is so great. You know, he makes a way. Okay, so let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3 talks about in the last days, and we believe that's where we're at. Scoffers walking after their own flesh. But let's go to verse 1. We didn't read verse 1, did we? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Hey, first of all, beloved, you know, his dear friends, you know, I mean, wow. I mean, these are people that he really liked. I mean, these are his best friends, his beloved, his people that he's hanging with. But what's it say? He's writing to them. He's saying, I stir up your pure minds. You know, he's reminding them, hey, I'm stirring it up. Remember, listen. Listen to what I need to tell you. He's expressing that to stir up, to stimulate, to hey, wake up. You know, there's a lot of people sleeping nowadays that need to be woke up. They need to be stirred up. Your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior. You know, he's saying what? Be mindful of what was spoken before. You know, there was think about it. There's, and we could dig deep. We could find this so quickly. There's so many other scriptures before this scripture that, you know, the apostles, the watchmen are warning the people. So that's what he's saying. Be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Now, what's it say? The holy prophets, and not all these false prophets speaking half-truths nowadays. But he's saying, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord's Savior. Then going to verse 3, knowing this first, you know, we need to be aware of this, knowing this, hey, that there shall be come in the last days scoffers walking around after their own lust. You know, this is serious. Peter's, you know, serious about this. You know, it's like in, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, just flip back a page, chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So they know these things, you know, that he's telling them, but he's putting them in remembrance of these things. He knows them, but he's reminding them. Right? And the reason why he is because, you know, let's read this down. Verse 13. Yea, I think it met, you know, proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in his body, his fleshly body, I stir you up by putting you in remembrance. There again, he's stirring them up. He's reminding them, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. He's going to die. He's telling them, I'm not going to be here. And so I want you to remember this, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. You know, the Lord showed him these things, and he's reminding them, because he knows they know, but he's reminding them. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So don't forget these. I'm not going to be here, so don't forget it. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, eh? You know, and let's go back to that. Chapter 3, you know, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, or can we say mockers, people who mock and ridicule the idea of not only of Christ's return, but possibly future judgment, let's just say, you know. People aren't being, realized judgment. You know, a lot of what we see out there today, it's oh, everything's going to be okay. You know, the church is going to take it all back. And, you know, they're not, it's half truth. That ain't true. You know, things are going to get worse before they get better, and they ain't going to get better until the day of the Lord. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. You know, there is judgment coming, and not judgment, but instead they're clinging to the belief that everything continues as it has. You know, because that's what they're saying. He's going back to Noah. These next verses, you know, they're just clinging on to what used to be. And now we hear and see all the false prophets and teachers saying, oh, how it's going to get better, et cetera, et cetera. Peter reminds his readers that God is the one who created the world, and that he is capable of changing things, as evidenced by the flood of Noah's times. So let's read that. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Wow. Perdition, that word perdition, you know, I had to look that up. As a lot of you know, that I'm a kind of a word person. Got to know what that word really means. Here in my Bible, down below, it's a footnote, says it means destruction. So, judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But that perdition of what? Of ungodly men primarily refers to the state of eternal damnation or spiritual ruin, often associated with hell or the afterlife of the wicked. The present heavens and earth are not going, you know, to last forever in this current state. You know, the world is trying to preserve the earth, you know, preserve all everything. I'm sorry, it can't be preserved. You know, the present heavens and earth, which is preserved now by the same word that brought them into being, is the same and will be the same word and truth of God's word, which will bring it to judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I think I need to read that again. The present heavens and earth are not going to last forever in their current state, but are destined for a fiery judgment and destruction. The present heavens and earth, which is preserved now by the same word that brought them into being, is the and will be the same word and truth of God's word, which will bring it into judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's God's word. He created the earth by what? His word. He spoke it into existence, right? And he'll speak it out of existence with fiery judgment. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Make sure I'm in the right place here. Verse 3. And in this 2 Thessalonians here, chapter 1, it's encouragement in persecution, okay? Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meant, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward another aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You know, there's going to be recompense. There's going to be, they're going to get repaid for the trouble. Those people that trouble us. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wow, what's your testimony? Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And I'm just going to stop right there for a minute. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would count each of us worthy of our calling, Lord. Just touch every heart out there right now, Holy Spirit. Show each one of us, what our calling is for such a time as this, Lord. You have each of us here for such a time that we would fulfill all the good pleasure of your goodness and the work of faith with power. Lord, we just thank you for that power of your word. We thank you for strength of faith, Lord. You've given each one of us a measure of faith, Lord. I just ask that you would increase our faith as we study your word, Lord, that we have power to overcome the adversaries of our soul, Lord. that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in 2 Thessalonians, you know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm not going to read all the way down. I mean, I'm just encouraging each of you to, if you're taking notes, to go back and read the whole chapter, read these whole chapters together to get a more big picture, okay? Because this is talking about what's going on in the last days. This is what's coming. This is, and we see it already being manifest. And so we need to know, you know, knowledge. And we're going to talk about that. But let's go down to verse 10, because this is what's happening. We can see this very clearly. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Be not deceived, my friends. We need to prepare our hearts and minds. We need to stand fast. Verse 15, let's jump down there. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or your epistle. Here it is, another stand fast by the word, by what he's been teaching and showing and recalling to their remembrance. Stand fast. You know, comfort, verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish or strengthen you in every good word and work. Amen. For this is a forewarning. He's warning them. Hey, pay attention. See what's going on? You know, be not ignorant of this one thing. Here, let's jump to 2 Peter. Go back to 2 Peter. Second Peter 3:8. Beloved, but beloved, there again, and beloved, his, I mean, he really has concern and care about these people. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. You know, be not ignorant. Don't forget. Verse, let's go to Psalms 90. Psalm 90. Turn there. Psalm 90, verse 4. You know, and this psalm is so powerful. I just want to read the whole psalm to you, you know, but it's the psalm about the everlasting, to everlasting, thou art God. Remember that song we sung? Above all. You know, above all, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But this psalm is so awesome. It's about, you know, our God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. But verse 4, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past as a watch in the night. Wow. You know, it reminds us and it emphasizes God's eternal perspective compared to humanity's fleeting existence. You know, highlighting the vast difference between God's timelessness and human temporality. You know, God created time. God's perspective of time with human perception. It underscores the brevity and transcendence of human life. You know, the shortness of human life. The fleeting moment we are just passing through and we're not staying long. Amen. That's what this Psalm 90 is. So I'm not going to read it all, but I'm just encouraging you to, you know, to get the awesomeness of our God. You know, read this psalm. I mean, there's way more psalms that just bring this, but let's just, you know, verse 17. I'm going to jump down to verse 17. And let the beauty of our Lord God be upon us. And establish thou with the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands. Establish it, thou it. Lord, so we just thank you, Lord, that you establish the work of our hands for such a time as this. You're an awesome God. You're from everlasting to everlasting, Lord God. So we just thank you, Lord, that you establish the work of our hands. Amen. You know, and then let's go back to that verse. Let's go back up to that verse. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. You know, when I was thinking about this scripture and pondering on this scripture, I'm like, wow, a watch in the night. Think about that. You know, a watch in the night. You know, it refers to the periods of time that the guards, you know, the people watching over the city, you know, the guards and that were on night duty, which, well, it was usually divided up into three or four parts, okay? A watch in the night. So it's not the whole night, really. It's a watch in the night. And the guards, they each had a time period of the night in which they watched. So that even makes it even, think about this. It only makes, it makes that time even shorter yet. You know? So humanity's time is so short compared to our awesome God, ain't it? It encourages me that how great our God is, you know. When that watch in the night is just divided down into three or four parts, it even makes it shorter. You know, it just emphasizes the shortness of our time on this earth, or in this, our, you know, our lifespan. You know, whoa, time is short. Is which I wrote here. So hopefully then, understanding God's eternal perspective will help us even more to what? To trust in his timing, his plan for our lives, and to live in a way that honors him. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. You know, this is in Psalm 39. It's a prayer for self understanding. You know, David, he's praying. This is a prayer, you might say. But I want to jump down to verse 5. Psalm 39, verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Wow. You know, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. My age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That word vanity, emptiness, nothing. Verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He hath heaped up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Our hope is in the Lord. He is our hope. There's nobody else, you know. We can't hope in any man. Amen. Our hope is in the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs chapter 3, it's an exhortation to obedience. You know, obedience is a powerful word. I mean, I'm trying to remember what Mama says about obedience is our wealth or something like that. But let's go to verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep thy commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet, the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then the reason why I'm going to the Proverbs 3 is because when I was, you know, studying this and writing this down and trying to put this message together, and when I got done with this Psalm 90 about, you know, a watch in the night and everything, and this verse came to me. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But let's go back up to verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. I'm going to stop right there. That word forsake, what does that mean? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Everybody out there right now, just what is in, don't go looking it up, but what do you think that word means? Forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. It's, you know, that word forsake signifies a complete departure or renunciation, implying a deliberate act of leaving or abandoning someone or something. Does that put a little lot of perspective of this, or wow. Let not mercy and truth. Because what do we know about truth? It's what sets us free. It sets us free from the powers of darkness when we aren't ignorant of it, are willingly ignorant of it. And mercy, let not mercy. God is so merciful. We need to thank the Lord every day for his mercy and truth. Let not, you know, mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let it depart. Don't deliberately, because that's what it is. It's implying deliberate act of leaving. Leaving what? Mercy and truth. Being willingly ignorant of it. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word most commonly translated as forsake is often used to depict Israel's unfaithfulness to God. You're forsaking the truth. You're forsaking his mercy. You're forsaking his commandments. You're forsaking his love. God is love. I mean, you're forsaking everything about him. You know, it's being unfaithful to God. In the New Testament, the Greek word translates, and I can't even pronounce this, inge, it's a big long word, which can mean to leave behind, forsake, abandon. Forsaking or forsake, it leans toward a voluntary act. Think about that. Is that willingly? If it's voluntary, you're willingly being ignorant of what? Of mercy and truth and God's word and everything? Whoa. It's what I wrote down here. Whoa, that's not good. Forsaking the Lord God Almighty, forsaking his mercy and truth. Wow. You know, so when we're, you know, through our lives and when we're living our lives and things happen and you know, sin or whatever, you know, we have to acknowledge that. And then let's go down to verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. You know, we can't despise the chastening and corrections of the Lord. You know, Holy Spirit, bring to, you know, we all have to work on this. I know I do. There's certain little things, patience and anger sometimes about little things. You know, but we can't despise chastenings of the Lord. Neither can be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Verse 13, here is so awesome. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Is that not awesome? Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared to her. You know, when we seek wisdom, I mean, wow, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. Well, what is the merchandise for the merchandise of it? The merchandise of wisdom You know, it emphasizes the immense value of wisdom, the surpassing, you know, surpassing material wealth. And then it also encourages us to pursue, find wisdom, wisdom with its potential for good guidance and understanding. Is for more, it's more valuable than the acquisition of silver, gold, and further down, even rubies. She is more precious than rubies, verse 15. And all the thing thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Whew, wisdom. And the benefits and the blessings, the awesome favor, can we say, finding wisdom or getting wisdom of God and not man. Amen. You know, there, and there's, you know, this is just one little bit about wisdom. I mean, start with, you know, chapter one, you know, get into Proverbs, chapter one, and read it. It's all about wisdom. Chapter 3, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 8, and even further, wisdom. You know, let's go back here to back one chapter, chapter 2, Proverbs 2. And let's jump down to let me think here. Okay, Proverbs. Whoops, I'm sorry. Proverbs 1. And let's go down to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go along with them. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as they grave, as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. I'm going to stop right there. Walk not thou in the way with them. I did a message some time back about the way. Are you walking in the way of the Lord? Or are you walking in the way with them? Refrain thy foot from their path. Let their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily in their own lives. Sore the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the others thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of the course. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. We're going to stop there a minute. Wisdom speaking here. Wisdom is crying out here. How long, ye simple ones, verse 22, will you love simplicity? You know, and that's the word simple is naive. How long will you be naive? How long will you love to be naive, willingly or ignorant, you know? How long, you know, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Then the scorners delight in their scorning. And what's a scorner? Scorners, a person who expresses contempt by his or her remarks or facial expressions. A sneer, disagreeable person. Does that remind you of something? You know? Can we go back to 2 Peter chapter 3? Knowing this first, verse 3, that there shall come in the last day scoffers. Scoffers. Kind of like scorners. Simple ones. Foolish ones. You know, willingly ignorant of wisdom and truth. You know, these scoffers and scorners and simple ones, foolish ones. To have any chance of salvaging his or her life must what? Must confront their pleasure for hating knowledge. What? Yeah. You know, you have to confront. You have to, you know, Holy Spirit, convict us. You know, bring to our, you know, let the eyes of our hearts. You know, go back to that song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You know. To where we need to repent. Repent. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Now we need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. But it's repentance. Let's go over to... We're still in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is the answer. Amen. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know, I've read that scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Sometime back, didn't put a date on there, I should have, but right under that scripture, I wrote global warming to the max. Amen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know, the day of the Lord is coming. It's coming fast. And that's why, you know, we need to be reminded to repent. You know, we need to have a godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10. You know, godly sorrow is a guilty feeling that leads to repentance. You know, we're not to do penance. We can't, you know, repent ye and believe the gospel, Mark 1:15. We have to repent, acknowledge our sin. And my last scripture is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Wow. You know, rejecting true knowledge is rejecting God. You know. And you, when you reject God, you know, it leads to destruction. Amen. So we have to remember, we have an awesome God. We have a God from everlasting to everlasting. We have a God of mercy and truth. So, Father God, right now, I just come to you. Lord, and just I just pray that your Spirit would draw each one of us closer to you, Lord. You have each one of us here for such a time as this, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that we are not willing the ignorant of this time that we're in. We're not willingly ignorant. We see things going on and we're not just going to put it back over there and I just, you know, help us, Lord, to deal with the issues that we see. Give us strength. Build our faith, our most holy faith in you alone, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and we praise you this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that sets us free. Your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we thank you, Lord, that you pour out your Spirit, your word, wisdom, and understanding of the times. You have us here for, you know, we're all called for this time. We're all called, Lord. So we just ask that you would show us the way. I pray peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, to guard over the hearts and minds of each one that hears this message today, Lord. That peace, Lord, that will guide them and lead them, not to the right or to the left, that big wide path of this world, but on that narrow path, that it's not going to be an easy path. But Lord, that peace will guide us. I pray that peace, Lord, will guard over the hearts and minds of each person here today, Lord. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The name that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to. In your mighty name, Lord. Amen. And amen. So thank you everybody for being here. I hope this will encourage you to seek the Lord and be... Carry on, wayward soldier. Amen.
Oh, that is very good to word it like that, Pastor. Carry on, you wayward soldier. One thing that really stuck out to me is when you was talking about, you know, the way that we grow in our grace in Lord Jesus is through repentance. And I think the repentance is what keeps our hearts soft, so we're not willingly ignorant, you know, to where we're like, you know, we want to have a heart to learn, you know, and to still grow and be shaped by the Lord, you know, stay on that potter's wheel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So I want to pray, Pastor. I'm going to mute you. I'm going to go ahead and pray for everybody. If you have family members that you know are that fall in this category because, you know, they're being willingly ignorant. Remember that dream that I had about Hurricane Helene and how I was choosing to be willingly ignorant. That's a good visual of, you know, what is happening in the natural. I knew what the people were warning about. I heard them. I seen them. But I chose to be willingly ignorant because I wanted to live my life. I did not want to accept that they were right because then I would have to take an action and I would have to change. And I do not want to change in this dream. So I was, you know, partying, living my life and everything. Well, then the water started coming in. I saw the tsunami on the horizon. I just chose not to see it. But then the water come up around my knees and come up around my waist. And then when the water started coming up around my chest and then it started moving me, then it had my attention. The circumstances had my attention. But then it was too late. This is the sad thing about people being willingly ignorant is the price they will pay to keep their eyes closed. That's what's happening. They're choosing to keep their eyes closed. And I looked over to the right, and the ones that were warning were behind a glass wall of protection, and the waters were, you know, just kind of going around it, you know. And y'all have to remember what we have learned in the Word. All matter is subject to God. When he says that judgment is for the wicked, this is what he means. Even the waters will obey God. The mountains will obey God. The trees will move. The mountains will move. It will make way for God. And that's what happened. The waters went around those people who were with their eyes open and who were warning and paying attention. And that's what Pastor's whole sermon this morning is about is, you know, pay attention, you know, sober, sober, alert, alert, focus, focus. Because the enemy, especially right now in this hour, is really working to distract. Especially with our government throwing out all these truth bombs about what happened to all these people that everybody's wondered about over the years, JFK and everybody. But you have to know that is so full of deception, it's not even funny. But it's to keep everybody going down these rabbit trails and distracted and following, they may be following a truth, in quotes, a truth, but they're not following. He wants to distract them to keep them from following the truth. Focus, focus, okay? And that is the good thing about, you know, this church and this ministry is that we are watching. We are sober and we are alert, you know. And, you know, we just follow the Lord. Like Dennis, you know, or Pastor, I'm sorry, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and praying and talking to the Lord and spending, he spends hours upon hours upon hours every week for you guys. I mean, really. Because he's giving you the fresh manna from heaven. And so this morning, you know, his encouragement is focus, focus. You know, don't be willingly ignorant, because the enemy, he's lying to people. You know, it's as plain as day, the lies, what he is doing. And people are falling for it. I just have to give one example. Not that I'm trying to preach. But you got, here's President Trump. And he's wanting to put our nation underneath the British crown, which is what Canada is under. Okay? This is who we fought against to come out of. If anybody can remember, you know, the Protestant, not the Protestant Reformation, but the Revolutionary War. And so you have all these people that are tied to Trump, the conservatives and the Christians, who in their normal way of thinking, in their right mind, okay, let's put it this way. If this would have been Obama would have done this, or Biden, or Kamala. You know, if it would have been any of them, they would have, you know, thrown them off a bridge or something like they did the tea back in the day of the Revolutionary War. They'd be like, are you crazy? But because it's who it is, they are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. This is where the danger is, because like Pastor is saying, they are willingly ignorant, choosing to have the, you know, their eyes glossed over to whatever they're doing, because they want him so bad, they have made him a golden calf. They have made an idol of him. This is idolatry if you have ever seen it. You know, and anyway, so thank you, Pastor, for giving us the word from heaven. And let's all pray. First of all, what we're going to do in prayer this morning, we're going to ask the Lord to look at ourselves first. We're going to ask him to examine our heart where we may have rebellious roots, where we may have some vines that are, you know, in our heart that are wanting us to be rebellious to God. Let's deal with that first. And then we pray for others. How's that? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning. Oh, how we love you, Lord. We thank you for that T-bone steak we had this morning as we sat at the table in the presence of the Lord to receive your word of instruction, correction. And we do receive that correction, Lord. Yes, we do. We thank you, Lord, that you love those that you correct. And when we think about Pastor's sermon this morning, Lord, that says, are you willingly ignorant? We want to examine our heart before the throne right now. Lord, examine our roots, our trees. Look down in our roots, Lord. Bring it to the surface. Any rebellious places in our hearts, we're not going to be prideful and say, oh, no, we're perfect. We know we're not, Lord. We know our frailty before the throne. And while I'm saying this about the throne, you're the only king we're going to bow to. We're not going to put ourselves under another king. You're the only king. Anyway, examine our hearts and our roots, Lord, of all the rebelliousness that we have towards you, Lord. please pull them out this morning. Pull them out. We do not want any rebellion towards you, towards your words, your precepts. Lord, heal us of those roots, God. Thank you for delivering us, Lord. We renounce all rebellion in our heart. We renounce every door we've opened to rebellion to you, Lord. Forgive us for that. And Lord, we pray for our family members, our children, our spouses, our parents, Lord, that are willingly ignorant because of whatever reason, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, that we break every chain. We break every yoke off their life right now in Jesus' name. We pull down all those strongholds over their tree in the name of Jesus. We speak to every, spell, incantation, and curse spoken over our family members. And we tell you no more hold over them in Jesus' name. No more witchcraft over them in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for sending your angels to our family members, Lord, to fight that warfare that is taking place over their head and pulling those demons back so you can deal with their hearts and the roots of their trees, Lord, and pull out all that mess that has happened to them over the years so they can be healed, delivered, and set free in all ways, Lord. And Lord, we recognize no matter what country we're in, that every one of us need you, Lord. Every one of us. We need you and we need your grace to continue in our path. We need your grace. We need your mercy, Lord. We need your forgiveness and we need you to help us love. We need more love for people, Lord, as the days get darker and people get meaner for whatever reason. We need your love. We need that kind of Stephen love that can see beyond the veil and that can love them on our way out. We need to love. And Lord, we thank you that you chose us to live right now. You chose us to see all this. So we declare right now in the atmosphere, in all these frequencies out here, we're all declaring it, no matter where we live, the following, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. All them that rise up against us shall fall. That God is for us, so who can be against us? That we have more that is for us than we can imagine. And that God is our provider. God is our defender. God is our protector. God is our shelter in the midst of the storm. He is our strong tower. He is our rock. He is our foundation that we stand upon. And we will not bow to the beast. In the name of Jesus, we renounce every foul devil out there trying to get us to fold to the beast and to bow to the beast. No, no, no. We partner with heaven and what God wants to do. And Lord, we pray that this end time church that you had in mind when you had John see the future and all that, and he, you know, saw in the book of Revelation, he saw all the things that were coming. And Daniel, when he saw the things that were coming, Lord, you had a church, a bride in mind that would do certain acts and be certain ways and had a purpose for that time, or you would not have sent them. So what we're asking today is, Lord, we want to be her. We're asking you right now. I have never prayed this before, but I am feeling this in the presence of the Lord this morning. We want to be that woman, that bride. We know it's going to come at a cost, Lord. We've already counted it. We've counted the cost of being your servant and living in a world where they're trying to destroy our temple. Let me say that again. Living in a world where they're trying to destroy our temple. The temple that you reside in, the temple where you have set up your throne in the holiest of holies in our heart. And Lord, we need your shield. We need your protection. That priestly garment, the armor of God. We need that over us, Lord. We need you in this hour to be that woman. Lord, we're not expecting it out of anybody else. We already know those days are gone. We need you to do it in us, Lord. Be it unto us, Lord. You can do mighty miracles through us, Lord. Let your will be done, Lord. We've already paid. I already considered the cost of what it's going to cost us to do that. So we're asking you, Lord, do it. Move in our hearts, Lord. Help us to walk in the prophetic, Lord, to hear your voice and to know what your charge is to do. Oh, how we praise your name this morning, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised, Lord. I look out my window right now and I see sunshine. But Lord, we know that's not all in the future is days of sunshine. You know the future, Lord. And if we can walk every single day in obedience and every single day hearing your voice, Lord, that you will take us through that darkness tomorrow. All we have to do is trust you today. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. We're just making a public declaration while we're in unity this morning. And whenever people are listening to this from all over the world, when you're listening to this, you are our brother and you are our sister. I don't care where you live. That does not matter. We are all on this earth as a family for such a time as this. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us, small and great. And I know if you're listening to me and Pastor, you have greatness on the inside of you. You want all that God has for you. You want to see the miraculous, or you would not be here. You want to see God's glory. You want to experience God's glory. You want to change the world. You want to change people. You want to see God's glory manifested before your eyes, or you would not be here. And this morning, we're in unity, Lord, as we stand before the throne in prayer. That let it be so, We are decreeing and declaring a thing because we are in the kingdom of the living God. We're not in a dead kingdom. We're in a live kingdom. Oh, God is very much alive on this earth. They may not be able to see him, baby, but we see him. Yes, we do. And we're asking you this morning, on March the 23rd of 2025, to activate your army in the mightiest name above all names. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that is the God we serve. And that is the God that we bow down to. The God who has the Son named Jesus Christ, God our Father. Glory, hallelujah. We accept the sacrifice that Jesus did when he came to the earth. The perfect Lamb that was slain. We accept that as our sacrifice for us. And now we ask God that you accept ours. Today, we're choosing to give you our temple and let the will of the Lord be done in this hour through us. Glory, hallelujah. Let all of heaven rejoice for the Lamb has been revealed up in heaven as the one who was worthy to open the books, open the seals. The hour we are in, unprecedented, uncharted territory. But God knows. So Lord, all we have to do is trust and obey. You'll take us through this journey. You'll walk us through. You said we're going to go before heads of state and majesties. And we're gonna not know what to say. But if we will live in a state of just trusting you, that you will fill our mouths in that hour. So we're resting. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, we lift up our sister Stephanie, the one over in the UK that we have not heard from in a couple of weeks. Lord, we don't know if she's already passed on. But Lord, we know that that battle she had with cancer was very brutal, Lord. And we lift up our sister because we have no contact. We have lost contact with her, Lord. And she's been heavy on my heart. And I know we're going to see this a lot in the coming days where we lose contact with each other and we don't know what happens to each other. But Lord, we know you and we trust in you. So we pray for her, whatever she's going through over there in the United Kingdom, Lord. We pray that you be with her and her family, whatever they're going through, Lord. We miss her, and we are very grateful for the time that we had with Miss Stephanie. We thank you, Lord, for what a light she was, even when she was so sick she couldn't talk or nothing, right there at the end. What a blessing, Lord, and the honor of getting to know Miss Stephanie. So I I pray, Lord, that somehow you will be able to get word back to me through someone what happened to her. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for all of these families today, everyone that's listening. Lord, that you would bless their homes and bless their hearts, Lord. Heal their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. And I thank you for giving them direction, Lord, that their ears hear what the Spirit is saying unto them. And Lord, I thank you for giving them the hearts to forgive and healing their hearts, Lord. And keeping their hearts soft and pliable before the throne, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for being family and having people, Lord, that have their eyes open and see what's happening and are pulling close, Lord. I thank you for that, God. And I thank you, Lord, for Garden of Eden Ministries, Lord. Even though we're small, we are changing the world. And I thank you for that, Lord. It's never been about numbers, not ever. It's about the impact that we're having in the earth. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, I was thinking about Stephanie this morning. I was like, man, I haven't heard from her in a couple of weeks. I hope she's doing all right. If y'all, hear anything, let me know. And I've sent some emails and stuff, so hopefully we'll hear soon. Yes. The Lord had her on your heart too. Aw. Yes, I'm so glad that all of y'all are here. And thank you so much for us being able to come together and pray. Let me stop.